So I would like to tell you today about my best friend. This is my oldest and dearest friend. The amazing and caring and most loving friend I've ever had. And I can talk to my friend about anything. We've been through so much together. We laugh, we cry, we lament, we share our anger together, but most of all, we listen to each other. Now, our friendship has not always been strong. We've had some rocky roads. We went years without speaking, and there was a time that I was very angry at my friend. But when I really needed them, they were there. They listened to me without judgment and loved me unconditionally. So you've probably guessed by now that my friend's name is God. I was given a task today to talk to you about why we pray and how we pray. John 15, number 5, tells us that we should have a relationship with God. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this passage suggests that by remaining in God and God in you, that we will bear much fruit. And that is the relationship with God. God is in us, and we have a relationship with God in us. And bearing the fruit is much happiness and success. Now, that doesn't mean monetary. That means success in your soul and in your happiness and your contentment and your inner peace and how you are with others. God wants us to have a relationship. So first, we need to understand what it takes to create and maintain a good relationship. Now, often when we hear the word relationship, we're thinking of a romantic relationship. We don't often think about the little relationships. So today, I'm challenging you to think of all the relationships you have. That's parent and child. It's your friendships. It's the cashier at the grocery store, your doctor, the stranger on the street that you pass by and maybe smile at. Those are all relationships. Anyone you have an interaction with is a relationship. Now, of course, you all know that I'm a social work student, so I have to bring a little social work up here. So we've learned in social work, we follow the 5 pillars of a good relationship, and these are 5 things that are supposed to make the great relationship. The 5 pillars are communication, respect, trust, humility, and empathy. Now, these were outlined for our everyday relationships, but they work really well with God as well. So we'll start with communication. Communication is necessary in all relationships. Even that person on the street that you smile at, you communicate with them. Prayer is your communication with God. Communication is a two-way, open conversation or interaction where both parties listen, observe, and share. We communicate with everyone we encounter, whether we mean to or not. Our body language shows how we feel about that passing stranger on the street. It's essential that we communicate with our doctor so that they can treat us appropriately. We communicate with each other just by saying hello. Respect is defined as a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. Now, we often begin our prayer with a deep admiration or respect. We sang a prayer this morning, the goodness of God. That's one of my favorite prayers to pray. And it begins with, I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hands. These are words of great love and respect. And it reminds us who we're speaking to. Now, we need to respect others, but we also need to learn to earn respect, and we do this through humility. In the same song, later on, we sang, "With my life laid down, I surrender now, and I give you everything." In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses or our debts or our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We lay ourselves bare in front of God, which earns us the respect as we humbly go and submit to God's will. Trust. We need trust in order to be humble. Being vulnerable with someone is not easy, especially with God, even though we know God knows all. But that relationship with God is not possible without trust. Trusting that the other person or God will love you unconditionally and offer forgiveness no matter what you have done or encountered is so important. Now, the final one is empathy. Now, empathy is a newer term. You won't find it in the Bible, not as a word or not as a concept. It actually originated at the early 1900s. Is when it sort of came into being a thing. However, we do see it in the Bible described as things like do unto others as you would have them do to you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice and cry with those who are crying. He wants us to stop and notice those around us and think about what they might be going through and think about how we might help. And that's empathy. And you can include that empathy in your prayers. Praying for the enemy. We read that in our prayer for world peace this morning. Praying for those who harm others. Praying for someone who's done you wrong. And offering forgiveness. That is how we pray with empathy. These pillars give us the tools we need to have a meaningful relationship with God. But they also give us the parts of the prayer that will help us engage in that relationship. There are many situations in life when we are going to pray. We say grace before we eat and show gratitude for the food we eat. We ask for help when we need to solve a problem, and we shout cheers of joy when to God to celebrate life. Christmas and Easter are great examples of that. So I'd like to share a story about prayer in my life. So yesterday I was struggling with a pretty deep moral problem. I was really struggling. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to solve it. I didn't know how to solve it compassionately. So I sat down to pray. Now, just a little bit of backstory. When we went through the book of James, James says to pray, say amen, and listen. So since we've learned that, I've been practicing this regularly. So I do that. I sit down, I say help, and then I listen. Has anyone else tried this practice? So what I learn when I try this practice is that I do hear an answer. It's not always the answer I want. And it's not always an answer that makes sense, which you're going to hear in this story. So in my deep reverence yesterday, I sat down on the couch and I bowed my head and I prayed. I said, "Great God in heaven, please help me to understand this problem. Help me to see where I have strayed and what I can do to move forward. I feel so lost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I waited. Now, waiting and listening is hard because you have to sit still and you have to not think about your shopping list or what you're supposed to be doing other than sitting on that couch and praying. And you have to listen. And I was in that very situation. I had things to do. There were noises in the house distracting me, but I stayed because I needed that answer. I knew I couldn't move on with my day until I had something. The answer I got was, go for a walk. So I've learned over this last 6 months of this practice that I should probably do as I'm told. It wasn't ideal for a walk. It was drizzling still, and it was cold. But I put my shoes on, and I headed out into Dumfries Conservation Area. And I walked, and I prayed, and I talked. I unloaded all my worries onto God. I gave it all over with great humility because I had to admit my own mistakes. After several minutes of talking, I would continue walking and just listen. And I'd usually hear, yes, go on. So I continued walking. I think I walked for about 45 minutes. I didn't really notice much on my walk. Here I was in this beautiful conservation area with leaves falling, and I didn't really look around. I was so focused on my problem. And I finally stopped. And I was among a section of the forest where it was no longer deciduous trees. We were in a fir stand. So the leaves had gone out from under my feet. And I was standing among these great pillars of trees. The branches are all bare down below, but way up at the top you see these green fir needles reaching for the sun, reaching for the sky. And I really looked. And I stopped in that moment and I said, oh my God, only you could create a tree that stands with such a strength and resilience. It withstands adversity of wind and rain and no sunlight for those bottom branches, and it still reaches for the sky. The carpet on the ground was just rusted fir needles. Gone were the leaves that I had been rustling through. It was a moment of awe. I took a moment during that time and I thanked God. I thanked him for opening my eyes so I could see. Thanked him for letting me see the beauty of even a barren tree trunk. And then I asked him for some of that strength and resilience. I said, just a little bit of what those trees have would be wonderful right now. And I said, with gratitude, I pray. And then I listened. The air was quiet, and I started walking back home. I could only hear my footfalls on the leaves as I began my return. And then all of a sudden, I was overcome with God's love and God's word. And God said, be brave. That's it. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what brave looks like in my current situation. But no, regardless of whether I know what it means or not, I still feel the same peace over me that I did in that moment. I feel it today, and I felt it all day yesterday. Gone is the angst from my problem. This is why we pray. And it's only one way to pray. How we pray depends completely on the situation. I needed that time yesterday to focus, to meditate, to even figure out what it is I needed, and then to hand it over to God. But there's other times in the day. I get up in the morning and I say, today's going to be a great day. Can you help me out with that? And that's a pretty quick prayer. There's not a lot of ceremony around that one. You know, sometimes we run into someone and you think, oh, this my friend is hurting. And we stop and we say a prayer. For years, we've been praying with the Psalms. The Hebrew culture, that's how they prayed. And still do today, is reading the Psalms. So for someone who doesn't really know what to say, often opening up the book of Psalms, it helps you to find a prayer that you need. So some of the ways that Jesus prayed may help us to come to some conclusions of how and where we can pray. Jesus often prayed in seclusion and in private. You see it in Mark and Luke. In Mark chapter 1, he says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. He liked to get up in the morning and pray. And in Luke chapter 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now that he also prayed in a continual conversation. Does anyone do that? Just sort of talk to God all day? You just sort of ramble on in your head? Yeah. So in John chapter 12, Jesus prayed while they were walking in the middle of a conversation. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I like just having that conversation, as long as I remember to listen afterwards. Because I know if I'm going to have a conversation with any of you, I have to stop and listen, because otherwise you're not going to want to talk to me very often. One way that we often have trouble with, I know I do, I forget to do it, and I'm working on that, and I know Mark's talked about it a lot, is the corporate prayer, praying with others. It's not always a comfortable thing to sit with someone and be vulnerable, because prayer, like we've already said, talking to God is a very vulnerable place to be. So I encourage everyone, myself included, to work on that. Even if it's just to say grace. A lot of us don't say grace anymore. Does anyone say grace anymore at the dinner table? We got a few. We're working on it. I didn't grow up with that, saying grace at my dinner table. My aunt did, but my family didn't. We went to church. We just didn't say grace. So it's a very new and strange thing for me. But we're working on it, and the kids are accepting it, and that's really cool. And that's where we're starting. So however prayer looks to you, it is essential in developing a relationship with God. It is essential in deepening your relationship with God, or even discovering one. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to follow a formula. It can be however you are comfortable in praying. So a few things to remember. When you come before God, come with reverence and awe, like Jesus did. That was when I got my answers. It was when I stopped and recognized the awe and beauty of God. Find a private place to pray often, where you can get away from that noise and your commitments and all of those extra thoughts. Make time for prayer when you can focus on God alone, especially with big decisions. I needed to get out of that house to make to come to conclusions with that problem I had. I couldn't do it with other people around. Don't allow your circumstances to keep you from praying without ceasing. Just because someone walks in the room, don't stop. Pray regularly with a few of your close friends. Again, even if it's just saying thank you for the food. And finally, as we learned in the book of James, pray with deep abandon, especially when you need to hear that answer. Being able to stop and say, I need help. I need you, God. Amen.